Beloved congregation, we have heard by the reading of Brabers 1 this evening that there is people of whom the Lord declared they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. The willingness of the Lord is great towards a fallen sinner, towards a sinner that have sinned against the Lord and had run away from him, because righteously the Lord can leave us over to ourselves. The Lord is not obliged to show any kindness to men on account of the greatness of his sin and of his transgression. And what an awful thing it is where the Lord said he would none of my counsel, because that would be to the eternal welfare, but they would not of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Despising all God's reproof that the Lord in blessings and in judgments, but also by his word that he sends amongst us, that we despise God's reproof, and that we show in our actions and in all our ways that we have no interest at all in regarding to the Lord. Therefore it shall be so right, congregation, when we are lost and when the Lord, when we die, that he cast us away in that pit of destruction. But a blessing at the other hand, when the Lord incline our hearts to his counsel and to his reproof. We cannot ascribe that to ourselves. That is impossible. It all have to come from the Lord. But what a blessing when we be made a subject of God's counsel, and that he fulfilled in our life, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That the Lord in his tender mercy, in his loving kindness, makes our heart receptive for his counsel, for his instruction, and for his teaching. and that we lay as beggars at his throne to receive all those things to the honor of the Lord, but also to the welfare of our immortal and ever-dying souls. I will instruct thee and teach thee. For those that have received a broken heart and a contrite spirit, this evening with the help of the Lord, I will say something about that. And my text for this evening is in the Acts of the Apostles, the 2nd chapter, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This verse. We have in our text for this evening an instructive and encouraging answer to a question of those that were perplexed. We have here first the necessity of repentance. Second, the value of baptism, and then third, the gift of the Holy Ghost. This morning we have heard out of verse 37 of this same chapter that the people was pricked in their heart when they heard twice out of the mouth of Peter that they have murdered and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They never have known it. No. Same with us, we don't know what sin is. The right character of sin, we know that only by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. And then immediately that concern that was in their heart, men and brethren, what shall we do? And now that Peter, he was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man outwardly. He had nothing. In the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, then he would say to that man who was lame, laying there at the gate of the temple, silver or gold I have none. But he had more than silver and gold. He was carrying with him the treasure of the gospel. He was called by the Lord and anointed by him to preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. That Peter did not send that perplexed people to the priests. not to buy bullocks and other animals to offer them up in the temple. He sent them not to any men for advice, but Peter himself gave them advice. And the contents of that advice that was, in the first place, repent. The word repent, that is in the Bible 34 times. It is well a good idea for boys and girls to look that is up in the Bible. 34 times you find the word repent in the scriptures. Time and again the Lord is placing that before us. I gave you three texts this evening out of the New Testament. We find the word repent in the Old Testament also, but in Matthew 3 there we find it for the first time. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the second place, Christ himself, when he started to preach, in Matthew 4, verse 17, you read about him. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in Matthew 10 verse 7, where Christ has sent out his 12 disciples to preach, then he said, And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now the word repent had different meanings. You can find that in your dictionary home when you will look it up. We have the word grief, the word sorrow, the word anguish, the word repentance, contrition, and regret. And of course that word repent, that had a different meaning. That means the contents of the word repent, that is that we have regret about all that lay behind us, but also that there is in the same time an inclination in our heart to love the Lord and to live with a sincere heart after all the commandments of the Lord. Repent. For that people years before, that word had no meaning. They were the children of Abraham. They have never served one body. They were righteous in their own eyes. There was in their life nothing lacking. They thought it was well with them for eternity. There was no need in the heart for the Lord. Let I say it in a different way. There was a satisfying with and in their own life. There was, in other words, nothing that bothered that people. The same as that it is by nature with the world, and the same as it is not only with the wicked world, but also with the religious world. You find in general, I know when I say that now, that there shall be people amongst us, I think so, they will say, stop. You are busy to judge already. And you must not judge people, because you don't know what is in their heart. But of course, you shall know the tree and the fruit. And every soul that become, that is regenerated, they become concerned about their state and their condition. There is something to do in their heart, because they cannot live as they have lived before. Everything that is so empty, and their whole life that condemns them. Their whole life. Not before, but now it condemns them. And where that they go, there's always a disappointment. They find here in the world nothing than emptiness. And the seriousness of life and of eternity that is more and more bound upon their heart and their soul. They are realizing we cannot die as we were born. There have to take place something in my heart. I must be reconciled with God. I must be brought back into communion and fellowship with the Lord. That are the things that bother that people. I will mention this evening, in regard to the word repent, the things that was bothering that people, that was pricked in their heart. In the first place, the desire was to become rid of their guilt, because they have murdered and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was as a heavy burden upon their heart and soul. Their hands were full of blood, the blood of that righteous mediator was cleaving upon their hands, and they could not wipe it out, they could not take it away, And other have to do it. And then they realized that judgment that was resting upon them, because they did realize that the Lord was holy and just, and that he cannot deny himself that he had to punish the sin of men. And they did realize in the same thing too, that the curse which was laying upon them, that they have made themselves worthy of it. They have nothing to bring in. When the Lord come in our life, people, then our mouth is shut. As long as if the Lord is not coming in our life, then we have so many reasons. Then we have so much to bring in. We are full of it. But as soon as the Spirit convinced us of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, then all the weapons that we have before in our hands are taken away from us, and we become quiet, realizing that we have violated the law of God and that we have offended the highest majesty in heaven. And now we must receive reconciliation with the Lord. There have to happen something that come from on high, because it come a time in our life, people, that all the doors in the world are closed for us, that there is only one to whom we can talk, and that is only the Lord. David, he said in Psalm 119, I have told thee all my ways. Many times have is as copper, and is earth as iron, time and again. And even then they say, Lord, the blame is upon me. There is no person in the world so easy to live with and to handle it as with a real convinced sinner. He can take everything. They can accuse him for many things, and they all take it over. That was by the people on the day of Pentecost also. For instance, if you meet this one person on the street, or where it will be, that would say, you are a robber. You have stolen. You have violated this or that command. That means now outwardly. And if we are not outwardly guilty of it, then we are quick ready to go to a lawyer and to say, figure it matters out for me. I sue that man. But a convinced soul have nothing to fight. No. Later on, it is sometimes also different. when we are standing in our own right. But if we are convinced by the Holy Spirit, we have no right. We lose all our rights. And it is for such a personal wonder that the sun is shining. For such a man is there are times in their life then it become a wonder that the trees are green and that there is something growing in the field. Because they would say, Lord, if everything was taken away and all there came a famine over the world, it is my own fault. There's such persons, you can easily talk with them and reason with them because they have nothing to bring in. It is a wonder that they are still alive and that the Lord spared their life, that the Lord is so merciful to them, and out of that experience for their hearts, then they ask the Lord day and night whether that it is possible to be converted. They are on the side of the Lord, already converted. But for himself, they are unconverted. That people here in Acts 2, that was very easy people. Because if one day before that, anybody had said to him, repent, and you are unconverted, oh, I think the flames were coming outside, out of the heart. And they were so full of enmity, they would, well, burn you up and murder you. Because, yes, yeah, so be easy to say something. Not to a soul that is under true conviction. No. But if that is missing, then you have really to be careful. Really to be careful. In our days, thousands and thousands of you, the number you cannot say it, so great it is. They are so satisfied with himself and so comforted in himself. And if you try to take that away from them, boy, then you shall hear something. You shall hear something. And of course, that is all an evidence that the real matter is lacking. I told you many times that the last prayer of Jeremiah, sanctified from his mother's womb, placed by the Lord as a wall, that man that said, Lord, return to us, and he shall return to thee. Repent, that was what Peter said to that people there. Now they accepted it. And why did they accept it? Because the Holy Spirit was working in their heart. And they had come in a little moment to the knowledge of their sin, but also to the knowledge of their separate state and condition. And they had seen himself so far from the Lord, farther than the north from the south repent. But of course the word repent in our text this evening, that have still another meaning too. I can say also this, that in the word repent, the Lord placed before that people his righteousness. There is so many people that is living upon the mercy of the Lord. But let us never forget, congregation, that the righteousness of God, that is coming and standing in the front. I shall read it out of the word of God. Justice and judgment are the habitations of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Repent. Peter explained to the people what there was missing and lacking in their heart, and what must be taken place. They have to come with a true sorrow before the Lord. They have to come to him as a sinner, condemning himself, but pleading upon the mercy of the Lord that is founded upon the righteousness of Christ. Repent. But there is something else here in that text. The second thing, as I mentioned to you, is the value of baptism. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We can well accept it that the people, most of them, because it were in general Jewish people there, that they were circumcised after the law of Moses. That was in the old dispensation a command of the Lord. When the parents were electing circumcision for the children, then the law of God put them outside of the camp. Because also in those days already, there was a censor and discipline in the church in regard to the institutions of the Lord. Now most of the people that was circumcised, and still Peter said, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you. In the first place, it is a personal matter to be washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can listen in our life to other people that have received that privilege. And we can listen to them with a certain delight and joy. Amazing. The wonders that the Lord had wrought to that people. But as long as it is not applied personally to our own heart and soul, Then we walk here through this world as a condemned person. Every one of you. Your father can be converted, your mother, your brother, your sister. But that helps not me. It must personally be applied to our own heart and soul, and we must receive the consciousness and awareness of it in our own heart and soul. Every one of you. You all need the same thing. And you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why is that now mentioned here? Not in the name of a triune God, but especially in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Die baptize our children in the name of a triune God. And we do that after the commandment of the Lord in Matthew 28, verse 19. But why did now Peter said in the name of Jesus Christ? Because the people that had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, it was for them. In general, Jesus of Nazareth, they had despised him with all that was in them. They have never honored him. They have never acknowledged him as the Messiah promised by the Lord unto the fathers in the Old Testament. And now to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What means that now? I hope that I can explain that to you with few simple words. You read in 2 Peter 1 verse 4, as the privilege of God's people, that they are partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. And what is now the fruit when we receive the divine nature? The first fruit that is that we have the same thoughts about sin as that the Lord had. How is the Lord thinking about sins? The Lord hates sins by virtue of his essence. Far is the Lord about afar from iniquity, and the Holy God from sin. And as soon as the Lord appeared in our life in a saving way, then sin that becomes sin to us. Can ever be different. In the second place, who are the thoughts, how are the thoughts, not who but how are the thoughts of God about his only begotten Son? Then we bring you this evening to the river Jordan. And we bring you also to the mouth of Transfiguration. And at both places, there the Father declared from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And now God's people, God's children, They come to the same thing in their life, thinking about that Christ. By nature, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, because there is not one that will be saved in that way. We will well be saved and we will well be converted, but in our own way, building up our own righteousness. Our nature that is always to climb up to the Lord and to make ourselves acceptable in the sight of the Lord. That is the work of that Pharisee here. Here. All of us, we had a Pharisee in us. But the Lord, when he comes, he breaks everything up in our life. Everything. Till that we come to Christ. The disciples, I gave you an example as an instruction this evening on the basis of my sermons. The disciples, they have a time when they were young, then they were sitting on the Sabbath days in the temple and in the synagogue under those Jewish rabbis. And they were satisfied, oh yes, and they heard nothing else then that they were built up in their own works to be saved. But then John the Baptist came. And you know what John the Baptist had done? He had prepared a way in the wilderness for the Lord. John the Baptist, he came, as you have heard this evening out of that text already, repent, because the kingdom of God that is at hand. And he was a strong preacher. I want that to have something over me in my heart. Really? That man that had no fear for nobody. He was full of zeal for the Lord and for Christ, full of it. And as soon as John the Baptist, when he indicates with his finger to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, he takes away the sin of the world," then most of the disciples, they left John the Baptist and they followed from that time Christ. This, they have three different churches, their people. John the Baptist was wrong, was not wrong, but the stripes and Pharisees were totally wrong. But not John the Baptist, because he was the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need such a forerunner in our own heart and soul, people. Because there is no way to leading to Christ. That way that have to be prepared by the preaching of John the Baptist. We have to consider that. Now you can realize that all the people that immediately come with Christ, that is wrong. Entirely wrong, people. The Lord by his Holy Spirit must make our hearts receptive for the Lord Jesus Christ. For that Christ who came in the world not to call righteous, but to call sinners. And in the same way, people, as that Christ is hidden for us, so our sin is also hidden for us too. It is maybe a strange statement that I made this evening, but I think there is well some that can follow it and take it over. Even God's people realize that. Even God's people. By nature we have no sin. We have our sin in our mind and conscience. But I meant to say this evening that it bothered us. That it cost us tears. That it drives us out to the Lord. Oh, people, I shall not start with you this evening, no. I shall not start with you. I shall start with myself. And what shall I say then? Oh, many times, even on the pulpit, we ask for things that it is not bothering us, that it is our mind, that it is our mind. We ask time and again for the forgiveness of our sins without any feeling. Without any feeling, people. And can we give that feeling in our heart? No. That is impossible. And that spirit, when he comes, he shall convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then it become a burden. And how many times now in a year, let us now be honest, people, how many times in a year that our sins is bothering to us? How many times that it brings us to the right place. And it is so necessary that we learn for ourselves that there is only one that can wash and cleanse us in his blood, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when all hope is gone for us, and when there is no expectation left, and that we are nothing else as a sinner, not one clean spot upon us. The same as in the Old Testament with lepers. As long as there was one spot upon their body that was healthy, then that priest sent them away. And they have to wait that their whole body was infected. And that they were totally lepers. Totally. And then there is work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And now the true meaning of that text is to acknowledge him as Jesus Christ, to acknowledge him as Savior with our heart. To acknowledge him as Christ, as the anointed of the Father, to instruct us, to pray for us, to apply his mediatorial work to us, to rule us as King, and to protect us, and to bring us under the precious wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. and to take care for us for time and for eternity. That is now the countenance. And every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And of course then, when all hope is gone on the side of men, then to come to the acknowledging that we never be reconciled with God through ourselves. And by anything that is of us, even, there's a deep point, even, not one cry, even not one sigh, even not one prayer, even not one thought. And that is left, oh people, please. Please listen to it, and I hope that you understand it. When there is nothing left in our life as a condemned and a hell-worthy sinner, then heaven is open for us. And then we accept it in the Beloved, as Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 6. And then we receive that gladness in our heart and that peace that passes all understanding. Then we are privileged in our life to realize what we sing now together. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. 187. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 187, the first and the second stanza. I realize that the time is far spent, but only a few minutes about the last verse of my text, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. First God as yet, then Christ as Savior and Redeemer, and then the Holy Spirit as the applier of all the benefits of Christ in our life. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, receive. The word receive, that means here to have a right upon the Holy Ghost. And we can, it is easy, it is clear enough, congregation, we can only receive the Holy Spirit when that Spirit is given unto us and applied to our hearts. How do we accept Christ in our life? How do we receive Christ in our life? Without hands. As that we come to Christ without feet. A mystery, congregation. But the mysteries of the Lord for those that fear him, to make known his covenant unto them. The lame shall divide the spoil. The lame. And now that spirit of judgment and of burning out, congregation, that the spirit works through in our heart and soul to bring us to an end with ourselves. And that way that he brings us to an end, everything that is in us that is against that, really that is against it, we fight against it till that we have no more strength to fight. Many people drowned in the water. You know that last week too. Yeah. If they were swimming as Peter swam, or swimming to Christ, then you drowned. Do not drown. No. No. But they always say it is so dangerous. As long as a person is swimming and he go to the depths, as long as he had nog any strength in them to grasp him, because then both are drowned, both. But they say always you can grasp such a man if he lost all his strength, if he can do more nothing, if his strength are gone. And oh, congregation, I can well say that to you this evening, but to be brought to an end here, to be brought to an end, that it is nothing, yes, nothing. Jacob and Peniel, first, I shall not let thee go unless that you bless me. But there came a time that was done too, that he was no more praying. And when he was no more praying, when he left his prayers, loose his prayers, then he fell under the Lord and under his righteousness and judgment. And then the Lord could do with him what he wants.
Yeah.
And then people, but now be careful. Now be careful. Take not wrong conclusion out of what I will say now. But if it comes so far in our life that there is in our sight no more heaven and no more hell, but that it is all gone, and that the Lord can do with me what he wants, then I am on the right place. Then we come to the place where Christ was, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Then there is nothing left in us, congregation. And then he shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we have sinned away everything, a confession not here, but a confession with our heart. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If the time come in our life, people, that we have lost everything, then we receive everything. And then there is no greater surprise in our life as death. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost to comfort us, to seal us, to assure us, and to receive him as that good spirit that guides us and that remains with us for time and for eternity. I hope that the word of God preached in your midst today, that it bears some fruit. Whether that we shall see one another again, we don't know. Our life that is in shadow. I saw a man, I think Wednesday or Thursday maybe, in the hospital here. And that bed round about, that bed were doctors and nurses and family. Men that had so bad with his heart. They have to lay upon that body to keep him down. Awful was his condition. And when I came back, then I asked some nurses how it was with that man. And they say he died. He is no more. We are all travelers to eternity. Children, boys, girls, men and women. It is so done with us. And with our religion we cannot die, congregation. And in our sins it is ook lost forever. Oh, that the seriousness of it was bound upon our heart and our soul. I cannot give it to you. The Lord from heaven have to give it us. But oh, leaving this place this evening, That woman in Matthew 15, she said, Lord, help me. And Peter, he said, Lord, save me. What a prayer out of the need, the depths of his heart. And the Lord still can hear you, and he can answer you. On our side, people, then it is hopeless, but not on the side of the Lord. No. There is hope for a sinner. And for a man who is nothing else than a sinner, and may we fall before him and under him, then he shall in and through Christ show mercy to our soul. I hope that the instructions this evening out of the word of God for God's people also be to be a blessing, not to rest in what we have received, but laboring earnestly day and night to receive more, to receive the Lord himself, to receive repentance, to receive baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, bless thy word. Remember the congregation, young and old, great and small. Remember our school for the last week that they come together. Oh, that thy blessing may rest upon all the teachings. Remember elders and deacons and the gathering with that young people in this evening too, that it all be in the fear of thy name, and that we may see some fruit in life of the fear of the Lord, because that is the main thing. We must be repent and receive the spiritual baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember our country. Lord, break off all the works of darkness, and that we unconditionally also our president, that he may bow before the Lord. Oh, what would it be a blessing if he could hear once that he came back as a sinner, and that all, everything was broken down and broken off, because then there is room for the Lord. Remember all the families in the difficulties, in their needs and in their wants. Bring us back in this week under thy word again, and that we remember one another at the throne of grace. Also the sick and afflicted, Lord, help them and strengthen them. Prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and peace, and forgive all that was wrong in this day and amiss, in the blood of thy beloved Son. For Christ's sake only, amen. Amen. 255. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise. 255. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.